The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
God bless you. I'm so glad that we took some time and just were talking, and I'm so glad that each of you are here. And let's welcome those that are watching on the broadcast tonight at Facebook. God bless you. We're glad that you made your choice. We were doing some talking and had some prayer needs and some praise reports because God's moving. We know that we can call upon Him and that He would still heal. We know that we can call on Him, that He still provides. We can call on Him. We know that He's still a way maker. Amen. Amen. And each one of us, I believe, have went through things and we went through them together knowing that we can lift each other up in prayer. And we want to do the same thing with you on Facebook. There's many of you have been sending in requests and on the church page and different things. And if we can be a blessing to you and we can pray with you and you need help, feel free to get a hold of us. We want to take that opportunity to do that. And it's an honor that we can pray for one another and be a blessing to one another. Because at some point in time, all of us are going to go through something. And one of the greatest things you can have someone that's praying with you or praying for you. And that goes a long way of getting through any type of situation, just knowing that you're not having to go by yourself. Been there, done that, not too fun, right? So you watching, we're going to broadcast here for a while. But we're looking forward to seeing you this Sunday at 10 o'clock here at the river and would encourage you to get back in the house of God. And on Sunday, that's what we talked about, didn't we? We talked about fathers. We talked about the blessing. I didn't have that many notes, but I felt like on Sunday I was all over the Bible. I went back and replayed it and was listening to myself because there were scriptures that were said that I didn't read and study and have that morning in my notes. And I found references to Genesis and to 2 Kings and to Revelation and to 2 Corinthians and Matthew and Luke. You know, the Lord wanted to do a work Sunday, and I pray that, one, those got encouraged and blessed, and two, I'm praying that some would hear the heart of wanting to see people reconciled to God. And people, they misunderstand us, I think, sometimes. We have a heart to care for them, and some see it as pushing away or like we're better than them. And you know, if they could just get to know us, and if you could just give us a chance and taste and see that the Lord is good, they would see that we're a ministry of reconciliation and people that want to help, right? Amen? Amen. That we're not out to harm anyone, we're out to bless people, and we are called to help see them be reconciled to God. And on Sunday, it was a Father's Day, and I was blessed on Sunday. I hope you dads were blessed, and you got some good time with your family, and that was good. Everybody ate good, I hope. Hope you enjoyed your day. It was a nice day. And but it also has a challenge for us because we talked about in that message about coming back to God, and that's kind of the teaching tonight of coming back into it from Sunday. And it won't be a long message tonight, but that we'd be encouraged and we would feel the heart of the pastors, the ministry team here, the people at the river, that of reaching out to those around us and our families to let them know that, hey, we've all been there, right? We've all been through stuff, but we're called to be reconciled to God, and Jesus did that. He died and paid the price for us, and likewise, as born-again believers, shouldn't that be our mission? We're not to put anybody down. We're not to beat people up and beat the sheep. We're to help them see the light, shine light on their path, know that there's one named Jesus that came so that they may be free, that they may be saved, because we've all fallen short, the Bible says. We've all done things we're not proud of, you know, that has not been good in the sight of God, right? And for that, we need a Savior, and I need a Savior. And I talked on Sunday, there was references that just came about the spiritual fathers that we have and the people that have had an influence on our past. Amen? And what a greater thing is to leave a legacy that you've made a difference in someone's life. Amen? I think it's pretty awesome. And I'm hopeful that I can leave a legacy of some kind. You know, the Bible says that the good man leaves an inheritance. Too many people think that inheritance is only about money and some insurance policy. But what about the inheritance of leaving a legacy of people knowing where you're going and a legacy of training a child in the way he should go so when he's old, he will not depart? We talked about that on Sunday. A legacy and inheritance of saying, hey, don't go this way, go this way. You know, shine some light on the path, the narrow path. And we talked about that on Sunday. And one of the things that came out on Sunday was in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. If you have your Bibles, we'll start there. Because in this world we live in, there's a lot of things trying to distract us. There's a lot of things trying to put us down. There's a lot of things trying to manipulate us. How many of you seen that lately? You know, the news has gotten to be a pro at manipulating the smallest things into the worst of things. You got to be careful what you're watching anymore. You got to be careful what you're even looking at because you can't even tell what's truth anymore except for this that's in my hand. This is truth. Amen. And from day one, the devil's been trying to alter the truth and trying to manipulate the truth so that people are not even knowing what's the truth. And boy, in today's age of darkness, you can surely see how people are manipulating things to get you to think a certain way. But the Word of God is true, and it'll bless you. And when you need a foundation of getting your boat back on course, right here it is. So if things are out of whack right now, if family relationships are out of whack or jobs are not in the right place, I'm trying to point each of you and our viewers on the broadcast are going, listen, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. So as many people like to tell you there's all different ways and by good works you can do this, and if you pay so much money to the priest here and you do all these things, it'll get you to heaven. Right here in the book. John 14:6. You can take it to the bank. It's your foundation, your root. You can build on the sand if you want. You can do your own thing as long as you want. But until you come to your senses that this is the way, you're going to keep having financial problems. You're going to keep having job issues. You're going to keep having relationship issues until you determine in your heart and your mind that this is the truth and this is what to follow. Whether you agree with it, like it, or understand it, we are to be conformed and changed by the Word of God, not change the Word to fit our lifestyle. Amen? And too many people that claim to be Christians like to take this Word and manipulate it and twist it. I mean, look at all the translations there are. You can't even, you see, I've got two Bibles tonight. I thought about bringing more, but I didn't want to have it so full. Because even online, people are manipulating the translations now to fit their lifestyle, to fit their mind, instead of staying what's true to the Word of God. I'm starting to get away from this because I'm finding people that it's not even trustworthy on this. But when I have this, this doesn't change. This is printed. My New King James Spirit-Filled Life Bible. I'd highly recommend it. Amen?
Amen.
Because people are manipulating even on internet and files, twisting so that people that don't have this are getting messed up and they're twisting the very word. And what's worse is they're taking certain things out so that it fits because that's too confrontational. That's too challenging. I want to do my own thing, and if you're no longer there's conviction of sin, then everybody just does their own thing, doesn't they? You see, no one talks about sin anymore. That's too confrontational. That's That's not a blessing. That's not love. Well, guess what? We've all fallen short. And the sooner that we recognize it and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, the sooner you're going to be set free to spend eternity with the Father.
Amen.
Amen. But I'm really concerned about how people are twisting the Word of God. I got it. I don't understand it all. I got it. But when you twist the Word of God to justify your sinful relationships and justify what you're doing to twist the Word, we're one supposed to be molded and shaped. Amen? And so as a spiritual dad and as a dad, I've got a responsibility to train a child in the way he should go. And I'm finding, unfortunately, in these times, I got to go right back to the paper copy. Because electronic copy is getting manipulated. What was good translations when I was his age is now getting messed up. Amen? What you thought was a good translation is now little bit by little bit by little bit being manipulated just a little bit at a time. And you know what? All it takes is just a little bit at a time to get you way off course. No one notices a half inch now, but look at where that might take you 20 years from now and be so far off course that you need to get back to the Father's house and back in the Word of God. You know. So where I was going was in Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by all men." We got to make sure that we are staying connected. It's one of the things about fellowship here at the River, is to stay connected that we may remain seasoned. Because any one of us can go through storms that tries to weather and water down the salt. And you know, I'm kind of on a rabbit trail here, but you know, as people try to manipulate the Word of God, they're trying to water down that salty flavor, the Word that gets in us that transforms us. And we've got to make sure that we're staying true in the Word of God. Amen? Verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." You know, we talked about on Sunday about let your light shine, arise. This is dark times we're living in. This is perilous times. It doesn't take long. You can be on the news for 1 minute, and you're going to see that the Bible's being played out exactly like it says, and it's messed up, and there's children and people that you can obviously see they've not been trained in the Word of God. There's people that have twisted the Word of God to fit their own lifestyles and trying to justify their own sinful things. And you know, you just got to get back in the Word of God, and it doesn't matter. We're living in the days in Matthew that says that many will be offended. Hello? We are there. You can't do anything anymore without somebody getting offended. Right?
Yes.
It is messed up. So the Bible is true. It shows it. So we have a responsibility as dads and moms and Christians just to be a light in this dark world. And I'm going to try to be a light wherever I can be and not allow this darkness to have its way, because we are blessed. We've been redeemed and we've been bought with a price. Amen. It says, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Where are the people at today? They're shying away from the light. They're twisting the Word of God today. They're manipulating the Word of God, and it's time for them to get back in the house of God where they may hear the truth. Amen?
Amen?
Here at the River, we make it our utmost goal to speak the Word of God. and not give you my opinion if I do tell you that it's an opinion, but to stay true on the Word of God, that we may be a light to someone's life, because people's lives are so important to God. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. I wish some people watched, and I hope people watch Sunday, they would hear the heart of someone saying, be reconciled to God. It doesn't matter what you've done. There's no matter how dirty or how much you think that you've done wrong, God can still restore you and help you. Amen? Amen? That's the light that we're supposed to shine, because there's a lot of people, I got it, there's a lot of people doing their thing, but there's also a lot of people hurt that need help and need salvation right now. Amen? And they're looking for people that can help, that would help, instead of putting them down or making these rules and legalism and all that. Just come. Come as you are. That's been the motto, the cry. Come as you are. Amen? Doesn't matter how young, old, doesn't matter, right? It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen? I want to encourage you today that even though we go through rough times, don't let anybody steal your light. Keep the lamp going. Keep that fire going, because a lot of people will love to do this. And take a bucket of water and just put your fire out. And we were talking before we went online about the beauty of meeting together. And we were just laughing and have a good time. Laughter's good medicine. Amen? When you can find people in your life that you can share things with. Amen? That you can just talk to. Be a light to your neighborhood. Amen? Be a light in your family. Be a light in your workplace. I'm not saying jump on the tables and act all obnoxious. But sometimes you just get those little subtle opportunities. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
sir. I'm not talking about just getting up and preaching to everybody in the whole place, but pray for open doors that God would use you to reach people one-on-one. Look for that and be encouraged by that, because I believe God's going to, those of us that are earnestly looking for the Lord and those that are staying true to the Word of God are looking for opportunities that we may be a light and a blessing some way, somehow. You know, that's my goal. I just want to be a blessing and be a light somewhere, no matter what it is. Just let me be a light. Let me be a blessing. Let me do something that encourages someone, because I've been given so much, I want to give something back. Amen? God's done so much in our lives and brought us through so many storms that why would we not want to be that light to shine in any type of situation, whatever it is that God has brought you through, something that you can be a blessing to someone else.
Amen.
Amen. And here at the River, that's I'm hoping that you're hearing what we're saying and would believe what we're saying is true. And on Sunday, we ended Sunday, and I got a little long-winded on Sunday. Praise God, the Lord was just moving. And we ended in Luke chapter 15. We're talking a little bit about shine the light and being a light to people. But being a light to people, too many people these days want to be enabled and not truly get to the root of a matter to be helped. And the Word of God, it will get in your stuff. Hello? Whether you like it or you don't, some people will get offended by the Word of God because it gets right to the heart of the matter. It cuts into the deepest of deeps so that we may be healed and set free of things. Amen? And we were talking about coming back to the Father's house. And I'm in Luke chapter 15 right now. And we were reading, it said in verse 17, it says, are you there? I didn't give you a chance to get there. Luke chapter 15, verse 17. And I'm reading out of two different Bibles. Now, both these are New King James Bible, but I was doing some homework and some research, and I found out, and those, you'll have to forgive me, I have an issue called post-it notes, and so pray for me. You know, you got to confess to one another your problems and issues, so just pray for me. And but I found a really interesting thing in kingdom dynamics between two Bibles. And I'm like, I got reading this, and because on Sunday, and I'll show you where I'm going, because on Sunday, though not studying, I found ourselves in part of 2 Corinthians. And I want to cover that a little bit tonight in this teaching, because I think it's interesting, because it wasn't even in my notes at all, but yet I recited scripture from those areas that I think may encourage and bless us today. And we're going to get there quickly. But in this, it says in verse 17, it says, "But when he came to himself," this is a prodigal son, "he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise," in verse 18 says, "and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." You know, he reached a point where brokenness had come. A humility had come. And I tried to share that on Sunday as a man who's been redeemed and restored to the Lord, for a guy who didn't do everything right. But if I can just reach out to those listening to my voice tonight to know that, listen, you may things may not be going well and things may not be in your favor. But let me tell you, when you get your mind set that it's time to get back to God and be reconciled to God, that things do happen. Things move if we can allow God to shape our hearts. And this guy had went through some hard times, and you know, I'm concerned because I see it, the world today is giving up on God. They've got it so good in America. In the United States, we are so blessed, but yet we've taken our blessing and we're pulling away from God, just like this prodigal son did. And if we're not careful and recognize and do not forget the benefits of God, we find ourselves separating ourselves from God, leaning on our own understanding. And the prodigal son got an education, and he had to get back right with God. And I can relate to him because I've been in these shoes of saying, you know, I got to get back to God. You know, and there's going to be a time. I'm praying for open doors right now, folks. Hear me. I'm praying for open opportunities that you, listen to my voice, would see the benefits of serving God and say, listen, here's a guy that's offering. I think I might want to take him up on it. Amen? Because it's time to get back with God. When things aren't, you know, there's a lot of people that say, I've got everything. I got cars and trucks. I got money. But do you have joy? You can have all the material things you want. I know people that they've told me, they say, well, you've got godly blessings and you've got Bible blessings and however they world it, and I got worldly possessions. I'm like, well, that's fine, but you can't take them with you. Pastor Burkhart used to say, he says, there's no U-Hauls following you to the grave. So what kind of inheritance are you going to leave? I'm blessed. I have all my needs met. I don't have to be a quadruple trillionaire, billionaire. I can be blessed knowing that God's going to supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I can be blessed and know that I'm a head, not the tail. I can be blessed and know that I'm above and not beneath. I can be blessed to know I'm leaving a legacy for my family. God did a work on me that I may turn, that I may be the spiritual dad to my son, right? It says we'll leave an inheritance to his children's children, right? Amen. Amen? But you know what it took? It took, where's the beginning? I had to come to my senses. I had to see the value in God. I knew about the Word of God. All of us knew about the Word of God, but how many of us applied the Word of God? Until you apply the word, I'm preaching a little bit, but you know, this does not do any good in your back car window or on your shelf. It becomes powerful when you apply it to your life. And too many people get just enough of God, get blessed of God, and then they revert back to their old ways. Christian growth 101. God blesses you, brings you out of that mess, and then too many people think, oh, I can do it on my own again. Prodigal. You can't do it on your own. You needed to learn from the first time.
Come on. That's right.
But when you come to your senses and realize, I can't do it on my own, the Bible says, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. Too many people are hanging on thinking that just, poof, things are going to be all right. You can't fix these natural problems when there's still a spiritual problem separated from God. Even though there's a belief in God, there still needs to be a reconciliation. Right? I had to learn this. So maybe I'm teaching something you already know. But I wish someone would have told me when I was 15, 16, 17, 18, 20. It took a pastor putting me under his arm saying, listen, this is tough love, but I love you enough to tell you the truth. If you want to be free, I'm here. If you don't want to be free, if you want to keep twisting the word of God and leaning on your own understanding, then I can't help you. But if you want to come to your senses and you want to come to the word of God, then we can get you to eternity with the Heavenly Father. I had to get that in here. I'm a little stubborn, in case any of you haven't recognized it yet, but God's working on me. He's still on the potter's wheel. Give me time. Give me time. He's working on me. He's not done with me yet. But this guy, he goes, I'm no longer worthy to be called your servant. Make me like one of your hired servants. I'm broken and humble. He arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, the love of the Father. The love of the ministry staff here at the River that has compassion on people. That's what we're about. We're about people. We're not about buildings. We're not about programs. We're about people. Jesus was about people. Amen? So in these verses, I'm in my kingdom dynamics, and it says, repentance, revival, the story of loss, repentance and restoration reveals what is true repentance and the Father's heart toward it. Repentance, you see, people don't like this word. Repent, sin, oh, don't talk to me about that. But it's where you find restoration, okay? We've all been there. I just wish we could see some recognize that we love them enough to tell them the truth. Repentance involves realizing the need to turn from the direction we've been following, arising to return to the Father's house to ask for forgiveness, and receiving face-to-face relationship with the Father. As we genuinely repent and are restored to God, the kingdom of heaven is released through us, and the revival is released amongst us. Amen? It is where we got free, when we came to our senses and says, listen, not my way, your way, God. And every one of us have had to go through it, and the sooner that those around us would understand that we're only trying to lead them on a way to eternity, the better off that we'll all be, because it's time for them to get back in the Father's house. This forsaking, the assembling of oneself is not working. It's time to get back into the Father's house. Amen. You're called to train your children the way you should go. You can't train them in the way you should go if you won't submit to authority and you won't submit to the Word of God in your life, because it's a superficialness. It's time to go deeper. It's time to go higher and arise and go deeper in the world, in the Word, that we may be find that peace and joy in our calling to what we're called to do. Amen? So as I move over, I like for us to read into 2 Corinthians. Okay? And this I want to encourage you guys. I found myself quoting in some of this and I'd like to just read this to you. And I know many of you have the New King James, but would you mind if I read some scripture from NLT? Are you okay with that? Okay. So I'm going into 2 Corinthians, And I'm going to read a little bit of both, okay? I'm going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the reason I'm going into some of the NLT is because in teaching, I will do this to try to make sure I'm reading it, and it's a little easier for me to understand. And it helps me, and I've learned that here at the River, because too many times, you know, I like the Amplified too, you know, amen? You kind of turn it up a little bit, right? Turn it up a little bit. So sometimes I need to turn it up a little bit, and sometimes I need a little bit clearer understanding, because I still have trouble with King James, okay? Amen? So it's the Word. Just make sure it's a good translation, because like I talked about at the beginning, they're messing with it. You don't want that. So if you have questions, get a hold of us. Call pastor, email, whatever. But because I've had to learn some things as well, because you would think that people would be a little more reverent with the Word of God. But we're seeing in these days that no one's reverent towards any of that kind. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. Are you there? Okay, so go up one verse to 11. And you can follow along in the New King James, and I'm going to read in the NLT, and you can kind of put them together, okay? And we're going to talk about some things. So in verse 11, as you follow along, it says, "Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others." Don't you? Amen? Many of you are working really, really hard to persuade others. Amen? And I want to continue to keep doing that, because not everybody's going to listen and not everybody's going to follow. And that can mess up your saltiness, because you'll think, and the devil will work and he'll play, that you're not effective, that you're not somebody, that you're not called, that you're not whatever. And don't allow their rejection of the Word of God hinder you and lose your saltiness. Does that make sense? Because they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting the Word of God. Hello? Ah, that I'm telling you, that'll set you free. Because that messed me up for a long time. Because I took it personal. Going, I'm trying to help, I'm trying to bless. If I'm speaking the Word of God, and I'm trying to bless, and I'm doing it in love, and they're still rejecting and don't want to come to the Father's house, they still have yet to come to their senses, and they're in God's hands. I can only bless so much. But they're going to have to come to their senses. And for me, that was like a big bag of bricks, because I took it personal. And I want to continue to work hard, and I'm just going to keep, and I want to encourage every one of you, and I'm preaching to myself tonight and teaching, because I needed some of this, and maybe some of you who are listening might need this too, because it will weigh on you as those that continue to reject the Word of God and reject the invitation to know Jesus Christ and reject the invitation to come back to the Father's house. Hello? Verse 12 says, "Are we commending ourselves to you again?" No. "We are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart." Verse 13, "If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God." Anybody called you crazy? Crazy Bible thumper? That's okay. I still love you. I want the best for you. I'm so glad that someone told me about the Word of God so I can get free. "And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit." Verse 14, "Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them." Verse 16, "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now." Do you know the Lord differently now? Sure do, don't we? It is a lot different than when we started that Christian growth classes 101 that we try to get everybody in and understand and teach, because I'm telling you, I've come to know the Lord differently in a greater way by spending time in prayer and in His Word and in fellowship and being submitted to our pastor. Because if you think that you have everything figured out, it's hard to learn when you're the smartest one at the table. Right? So you've got to be willing to submit a little bit to those spiritual fathers that are only here to help. Otherwise, I mean, that's our whole deal. We're compelled to be a blessing like that, right? How differently we know Him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Isn't that awesome? You're no longer who you used to be. Amen?
Amen?
I know a lot of people that are still struggling with, they've got to get everything right and then they'll come to church. They're still struggling with the fact that they've done so much wrong. No. Repent and turn and start where you're at.
That's right.
You know? I mean, to say that, to teach is like, listen, you're basically saying that it's too difficult for God. Right? God can do all things. The blood of Jesus washes us of the ugliest of sin and the ugliest dirt. It's not powerless, it's powerful.
Amen?
Amen? And all this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has given us, and God has given us, can you put your name in there tonight? God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. Isn't that an awesome thing? Now, I love being a dad, but are you seeing that this is part of your calling, maybe? As a Christian, we should be ones that understand that part of our role in leaving a legacy, just like our spiritual fathers did, was they, the ones like I listed on Sunday, they were instrumental in leading me in the way I should go for my new life and reconciling back to God. Amen? And that's what we're all about here at the River. We want to see you reconciled to God.
Amen?
Amen. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. When you repent and you turn and you trust in the Lord and you've asked for forgiveness, it's finished. It's been wiped out. He no longer counts it against you. It's that robe that the blood washes you. It's that robe that you put on. When the Father looks and all I see is the blood of Jesus. Oh, well, I've done this, I've done that. What's God see? If you've repented and turned, yes, we did that, got it. But I'm forgiven. I'm reconciled. I'm restored. And too many people give their hearts to the Lord, but they keep allowing the devil to bring up their stuff and say, listen, I'm forgiven of that. And the devil what's the Bible say? The accuser of the brethren? So you got to be careful who you're listening to. Sometimes you got to go, hey, talk to the hand. I'm forgiven.
Right.
I've been redeemed. Got it. I know I did that stuff. There's people who know I did stuff. I'm forgiven of that.
Amen?
Amen? Because it'll be a weight to you, and you got to just let it go. I'm not going to sing the song for you. But let it go. Too many times we're our own worst enemy. We bring it up more than anyone else does. Right? It says, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation.
Amen?
Amen? That He no longer counts people's sins against them when you've repented and turned and you allow Jesus to come into your heart and make you that new creation in Christ Jesus. But too many people, well, I've done this. It's time to come to your senses.
Come on.
I'm trying to love you to say, listen, there is a way out of this mess. There's one named Jesus that is powerful, that died for you, that rose again on the third day. Amen? He no longer counts people's sins against them. He gave this wonderful message of reconciliation. I'm hoping on Sunday I was able to share a little bit of that, of wanting people to come back reconciled to God, not to make the biggest church in the world, but that they may be reconciled to God, knowing that they're distant, knowing that there's things that they're just be honest with each other and humble ourselves, right? God's still waiting for us to follow 2 Corinthians 7:14. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I would heal their land. He's still waiting.
Amen. Amen.
It flooded Facebook. It was the word for everyone to say, God will do it if we would just get in line with the word of God. When are you going to pray? When are you going to humble yourself? When are we going to turn as a nation away from our wicked ways and allow God to heal this land? Amen. See, is it 7:14 or 7:16? It's 14. So I had it right the first time. Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people would pray. Hello? See you at 9:30 Sunday morning. 9 o'clock Sunday morning. Amen. If my people would pray. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against him. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are who? Christ's ambassadors.
Yes.
Hello? God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Hello? Isn't that awesome? That God would use you like this? That, yes, we did stuff, but we've been redeemed, we've been restored, and now God would use a man like me to try to share the love of Christ for you, that you may be free, that you may have peace in your life, that you may have joy. God is using us in this county, in our homes, in our lands. God is using us. Isn't that awesome? Come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? Now, I would encourage you to read this in your New King James. I won't go through all those, but you know, in verse 14 it says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. The love of Christ compels us. When those try to take away your saltiness, those try to come against you, and the problems and the storms, remember what we're doing this for, is that we can see people reconciled to God, that their lives may be changed, that a man shared the word of God with me, that I would be changed and my whole life would be changed 20 some years ago. The love of Christ was seen in him. If there's ever a man that I've met that's had an influence on my life, was Pastor, when he had the love of Christ that compelled him. No matter if they talked bad about him, they could manipulate and they could do things. And the love of God shined so brightly that I didn't see anything else but that. I would come to church having the worst of weeks, baby Christian, still reading the Bible, but I would come and I would fellowship with people that cared about me.
Yes,
and that's what I want to share to this teaching. I want to share that our Facebook audience. We're not here to fool people. We're not here to manipulate people. We're not here to be the biggest church and to see the greatest. We're here to see people reconcile to God. And this week, I want to encourage you to be praying because Jesus is our foundation. He's the one that took the beating. He's the one that paid the price for us. And I'm going to read again real quick in Kingdom Dynamics. It says reconciliation is the process by which God and man are brought together again. You see, I was separated from God. I thought that I was all right. I thought that everything was good because I believed that there was a God, but I really had not made a firm commitment in a relationship, nor did anyone around me know it. I just had a belief in God. But reconciliation is that process, and it takes time sometimes. Amen? This is made possible through the blood of Jesus, which demonstrates the power and the model for reconciliation. We were once estranged from Him, but we have been brought to God and restored to relationship through the shed blood of Christ. Amen? As children of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we are enjoined to follow the standard He left for us, to be reconciled to God and with each other as He reconciled us to God. As we model His ministry reconciliation, the world will be impacted. Are you ready to be a light impacting this dark time? As I'm praying that God would use us, that we understand that today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. It's getting too short. Time's too short. We are called to be about the Father's business. True?
Yes.
Amen? Yes. So it's not about being the biggest church. It's not about being up here in this pulpit and being on TV and being on the radio. It's all about you.
Yes.
It's all about we do what we do. We spend great effort in prayer. We spend great effort financially, in effort, so that those listening would be reconciled to God.
Amen.
And I've said it so many times that people are probably getting tired of hearing it. But if He did that for me, He can do that for you. He doesn't show favoritism. When you come to Jesus and humble yourself and pray and ask for forgiveness, watch God move on your behalf.
Yes, amen.
And be reconciled to God. And here at the River, I pray that the sound of my voice, that those would understand the compassion that we have for people because we know what we've been through. We know what it's been like to watch the priest go to the left and the other one go to the Levite go to the right, or vice versa. We know what it's like to be in the ditch. We know what it's like to be hurt by church. We know what it's like to have people not care. We know what it's like to be in lack. We know what it's like to be in much. But in the end, we just want to see you reconciled to God.
Amen. Amen, Pastor.
Amen. And you do that through Jesus. He paid the price so that we may be once new. We can be a new creation and living the abundant life. And I ask you, are you living the abundant life right now? Because if you're not living the abundant life, let me introduce you to a man named Jesus where you can be free and have joy once again in your life. Amen? So on that for the teaching tonight, I pray that you think about this and know that there's a group of people in Warsaw, Indiana that have not given up on you. You may have think some have. Many people may be playing mind games with you. But let me tell you from here, from the River, We have not given up on you. We're going to continue to pray for you. We want to see you back in the Father's house. We want to see your kids back in Super Church. We want to see you back praising the Lord, being healed, being blessed, and being reconciled to God to live out the calling that God has put on your life, that you may be blessed and do what God has had a purpose and a plan for this whole time.
Amen.
We're just praying that you would see some people true to the Word of God and that truly do care, regardless of what the world says and regardless of what's going on. All right, here's the truth.
Amen.
Amen? Taste and see. The Lord is good. Would you give us a try? Would you give God a try once again? And let us show you the Father, the love of the Father, the compassion of the Father, of saying, we're glad you're back. Amen? So we'll be expecting you this Sunday at 10 o'clock service. Come here a little early, 9:30. We'll have a cup of coffee together. And I pray that you would see the love of the Father as we just got through Father's Day, that you would see the compassion of, through me, a light shining in this dark world, to know that there's help, that there's somebody that cares about you and that is here for you and wants to see you grow and be reconciled to God. And God bless you. We'll be seeing you. Email us, get a hold of us. Till next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at The River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.